Carolina's Grand Hotel program is on the air, coast to coast.
Grand Hotel? The flower shop? Just one moment, sir. I'll connect you. Grand Hotel? The public library? Just ask the doorman, madam. He will direct you. Grand Hotel? The party bureau? I'm sorry, miss. It's closed now. Won't you call again Monday morning? Grand Hotel? One moment, please.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Grand Hotel, presented each Saturday by Campana, creators of Solitaire Cake Makeup, and Campana Cream Balm, the famous lotion with lanolin. Today we're presenting an original play entitled Merely Players, written by Sidney Cook and Hartman Reno. In the part of Evelyn Kimball is Grand Hotel's charming leading lady, Barbara Luddy. Grand Hotel's talented leading man, Olin Soule, plays a dual role, taking the parts of both Arnold Kimball and his servant Jean. In support is an all-star cast. The action of today's play begins in Grand Hotel, Hartford, Connecticut. Let's step along to the lobby.
So I tell her, this time get me some good seats and not too far back. So there we are, right in the front row, practically sitting in the star's lap. But I guess she tries.
I spend 3 hours getting my hair done in one of those elegant high pompadours, and what happens? 10 minutes later, the sales lady at the hat store slams a hat on me and no more pompadour.
So I shoot the works, see? New suit, new hat, even bought new shoes. I blow into the office and my assistant says, Dan, why don't you get some new clothes? Now I ask you...
Grand Hotel? The information desk? Just one moment, please. Grand Hotel? Mrs. Kimball? Oh, yes, her stage name is Miss Evelyn Tabor. You're welcome. Grand Hotel? Telegram for Miss Tabor. Will you deliver it to her dressing room at the theater, please? Grand Hotel.
There you are. Come in here.
Yes, thank you. I am in. Now let's get out of this pirate trap before it burns down.
Well, another fiasco in the career of Arnold Kimball and his adoring wife.
Yea, verily. Score one more flopperoo. 3 weeks of rehearsal for 3 performances in Hartford. The first night was enough, if you ask me.
And now back to Broadway. Ho for the merry life of an actor.
And to think that right now, all over this fair land, there are thousands of eager kids burning with ambition to go on the stage.
My, you are in a mood. Cheer up, darling, and thank heaven for equity. At least we get our fares paid back to New York.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Better than walking. Arnold, I wired Rothstein today that this play is folding and asked for a part in his new show.
Yeah, I wish you luck, my dear.
If it isn't too late, I might get it. He believes in me.
Thank heaven somebody believes in one of us.
Don't be bitter, dear.
How can I help it, Evelyn? For 2 years, we've tried to believe our luck could change, that we'd get a break.
We will yet, Arnold.
You haven't done so badly. You've had recognition, had some decent parts. But what do they hand me? Butlers and valets. I swear, Evelyn, I've played so many butlers and valets, I find myself looking for the servants' entrance when I enter an apartment.
Come in.
Telegram for Miss Tabor. Sign here, please.
Oh. Here's your pencil. Here's something for you.
Ah, thank you, ma'am.
Arnold, it's wonderful. Rothstein says I can have the lead in his show. Oh, what a break.
For you, it's a break? Swell. You're going to walk right into a star part and you'll be a hit.
Why, Arnold, aren't you glad?
Sure, I'm glad. You deserve it. But I've got to go back and haunt the agencies week after week. Then, if I'm lucky, I'll be handed 3 sides and a lousy salary for playing what? Another butler, I suppose.
Arnold, dear, don't be jealous of my good luck. Yours will come in time. You're a born actor. Someday you'll be a great one.
No one believes that but you and me, and I'm tired of trying to convince them.
Well, there was something else in that telegram, Arnold, and please be reasonable about it. Rothstein offers you a part, too, so you won't have to haunt the agencies and we can be together.
What kind of a part?
Well, it's small, but...
But what? I can stand it. Another butler?
No, it's a chauffeur.
Oh, a chauffeur. Well, it's a change, anyway. I haven't played a chauffeur in 2 years. You remember my last one? Ah, there was an opportunity for acting. What a moment. I walked right downstage and up to the leading woman and delivered my line. Madame, your car is here. Oh, I was sensational.
But, Arnold, I should think...
What do you think? I should be content to play a bit in the show that stars my wife?
I'll tell you what I thought. I thought that you'd be glad that at least one of us has a break.
But, Evelyn, can't you
see... I thought that you'd be glad that we could be together. What I didn't think was that you'd let your pride come between us. Because if I'd thought that, I'd never have asked Rothstein to...
Oh, so that's it. You asked Rothstein to give me a job. You've started already using your influence to get your poor, unsuccessful husband apart.
Arnold, I only want...
Well, I'm not having any, thank you. What's more, I don't even need equity to get me back to Broadway, for I'm not going back.
What do you mean?
I mean that this afternoon I ran into Bill Stevens. He's got an insurance agency here, and he offered me a job. Turned it down, but I was a fool. Now I'm going to take it. Arnold Kimball, late of the theater, now selling insurance. I'll send you my card.
You can't mean it, Arnold.
But I do.
And you're willing for us to be separated?
It'll come sooner or later anyway. You'll clean a break this way.
Why do you talk of a break?
I've seen it happen often enough, Evelyn. You've seen it too. The wife a star, the husband a sponger. First he loses his self-respect, and then he loses hers for him.
Don't you love me anymore, Arnold?
You know I do, Evelyn. It's because I love you so much and all we've had and been together that I won't stand by and see it spoiled.
Arnold, I love you and I believe in you. I know that someday if you'll stay in the theater, you'll win through. You've got to go on. You can't quit now and toss away all our dreams of success together.
I'm sorry, Evelyn. It's nearly train time. If you're ready, I'll take you down to the station. I'm staying here.
I never thought that the Arnold Kimball I married would be a...
Go ahead, say it, a quitter. Well, at least I'm quitting while I still have a little self-respect before I've stopped being Arnold Kimball and have become merely Evelyn Tabor's husband.
Let's go, then. There seems to be nothing left to say except goodbye.
Grand
Hotel.
I hope you got a reservation, lady. New York hotels ain't easy to get into this time of night.
They know me. They'll find a place for me. Look where you're going, driver. Are you drunk?
She, Doctor?
Somewhat better, Kimball. She's turned the corner. She's asleep. I wouldn't go in just yet.
Tell me. Her eyes. We removed the bandage today?
Yes.
And she will see again?
Well, Kimball, perhaps an operation. But it's too soon to tell you.
You've been saying that every day for 2 weeks. Are you holding out on me?
No. No, we really don't know yet how badly the nerves have been injured. Only time will tell. It'll be another month at least. The shock to her whole system was terrific. It's a miracle she wasn't killed outright. But it's her mental condition that's worrying us most at the moment. It's a sort of melancholia. We've got to find a way to snap her out of it. Give her a will to live. Something to revive her interest.
I know. She's worrying about me, too, because I can't get an acting job.
Well, have you had any encouragement?
No, none yet. But I will. I've got to get work.
Perhaps you...
Doctor... I have an idea. You say it'll be another month before she can leave the hospital. I'm going to tell her today that I've got a job. A big part in a play. That'll stop her worrying about what's going to happen to us and perhaps give her something to get interested in.
Yeah, just go ahead. Anything just now to hearten her.
I'll have a month while she's here to get a job of some kind.
And let me know later what your story is, Kimball, so I don't give you away.
Yes, thanks, Doctor. I'll go into it. Awake, dear? Doc says you're much better today. And you look better.
Perhaps, Arnold. I'm glad you're here.
Hold my hand. I want something to cling to.
I brought a few roses, Evelyn. I'll put them on the table.
No. Let me have them here where I can at least smell and touch them. Oh, Arnold, it's dreadful to wake in morning after morning to find it's always night.
I know, my dear, but you must be brave for a while. Till the operation.
I'm almost afraid to go through with it, Arnold. At least now I can hope. But then it isn't successful.
Of course it'll be successful. And, dear, I have news for you. I've got a part at last, a real part. Brutus in a revival of Julius Caesar.
I'm so glad for you, Arnold.
It's only about 8 weeks' run, but it'll give me a chance to show them what I can do. There's nothing to worry about now. You'll soon be well again, and I won't have to sell insurance.
Tell me how it happened.
Well, I bumped into Hargrave, the producer, last night. He told me he was casting the show and let me read the part for him today. We start rehearsing Monday and open cold at the Garrick in 3 weeks. It's a swell break.
You're very quiet tonight, Arnold.
Am I?
Something is troubling you.
Oh, you're imagining things, and you mustn't worry about anything.
I won't, dear.
It's cozy here by the fire with you. I wish I didn't have to leave.
It's sweet of you, darling. Very flattering, too.
Flattering?
Know that my successful Brutus prefers the company of his wife to the applause of his public.
Well, I'd be a fool if I didn't.
Thank you, my lord. Now, you must be off to stab Caesar.
Oh, by the way, Evelyn, Jean asked for the evening off. So let's be sure you have everything you need, I'll put your cigarettes on the table. Here's your glass of water. And what else? Oh, matches.
Darling, I'm terribly spoiled. By you when you're here with me, by Jean when you're at the theater. I'm glad he's going to have the evening. He's been so faithful, so thoughtful for a servant.
Yes, in many ways, Jean is most unusual. Well, I'll put a log in the fire. I'll take a good nap, dear. I'll be back by 12. Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear Brutus.
Now, as the curtain falls on Act One of today's play, let's talk...
Oh, Mr. Announcer, you know what? The other night, Dick, that's my boyfriend, told me I had the smoothest, softest hands. And he said he thought a wedding ring would look awfully pretty on them.
Say, that is a new way to propose.
Oh, you don't understand. The reason I'm telling you is because it's your Campana cream balm that keeps my hands so smooth.
Well, now, that's mighty nice of you.
I think so. Besides, I have very sensitive skin, and I work in a defense plant, and I'm not going to quit until the war is all over, and it's really hard in my hands, and I have to wash them lots, too.
And if you hadn't run out of breath, you would have said that in spite of all that, Campana Cream Balm keeps your hands smooth as satin.
Sure. But why?
For a very good reason. It's common knowledge among skin scientists that lanolin duplicates the functions of the skin's own oil better than anything else. And, my dear, there's rich, pure lanolin in Campana Cream Balm to protect your skin against dryness.
Gee, no wonder it's so good.
Yes, and Campana Cream Balm does wonders in keeping skin silky smooth. Try this fragrant, creamy lotion. See for yourself why it helps keep your hands fresh and young-looking in spite of hard work, soapy water, in spite of being the family chief cook and bottle washer. Ask for Campana Cream Balm, the famous lotion with lanolin, in the yellow and white carton. If you have an extremely dry or sensitive skin, you want Campana's heavier concentrated lotion, original Campana Balm, in the green and white carton. Both sell for 25, 50 cents, or $1 a bottle. And now, here is the second act of Merely Players.
Well, now, what are you doing here?
Waiting. What time is it, officer?
Oh, must be about 11:30.
Thanks, officer.
Yeah, you picked a nice cold spot for your waiting, a park bench on a night like this.
I can go home now.
Oh, an alibi, is it, eh?
I told my wife I'd be at the theater.
Well, I hope she doesn't get wise to you. I married myself, buddy. I understand.
You think you do. Oh, wait. Just a minute, please.
Yes? What is it?
Your name's Marvin, isn't it? Tony Marvin?
Yes, that's right. I'm Tony Marvin, but you forgive me, old man. I don't seem to...
Remember me? I'm Arnold Kimball.
Kimball? Kimball? No, I'm awfully sorry, but
The Lilac Lady, your first play. I had a part in it. Oh, a small part,
oh,
but...
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Oh, I knew you'd remember.
I tried to forget that play. It was a flop.
Well, you've done pretty well since then. You remember that talk we had the night Lilac Lady closed? You were broke, dead broke, and discouraged. I told you to keep on. I even lent you $5 to...
Oh, I see.
Oh, no, you don't see. I didn't stop you to speak of the money. I don't blame you for thinking so, Marvin. I look like a panhandler, I suppose. My clothes...
You do need an overcoat.
I need a job.
You're at liberty, huh?
I haven't worked for months.
I'm sorry.
But I've learned to act since you knew me, Marvin. I was a raw kid then.
I wish I had something for you, but
you're doing a new show. Isn't there something in it for me?
No, I'm afraid not. The cast is complete.
I'd play anything.
Oh, it's too bad we didn't meet last week. As it is, the contracts are all signed. All but the leading man, of course.
Well, let me read that part for you.
Oh, my dear boy, you don't know what you're asking. It's one of the most difficult parts I've ever written. My whole play depends on this one part. I need a star, a name.
But give me a chance at it, Marvin. Just let me read it for you. I hate to beg, but I'm on the spot, Marvin. It means so much to me. You see, my wife...
Oh, you're married, huh?
Do you remember Evelyn Tabor?
Evelyn Tabor? Well, yeah, she starred in my first play. A girl with deep red hair and lovely eyes.
Yes. Her... eyes.
Oh, she was a brilliant actress. I often wondered what became of Evelyn Tabor.
She married me. She believed in me, you see. The only one who ever did. We played together when we could get work. We managed to live somehow. We were happy. But then there was an accident. Automobile crash. She was... I thought I was going to lose her.
Well, I'm sorry.
I've got to do something, Marvin. All I need is a chance... Hospital bills and all have cleaned me out, and Evelyn needs...
I'm devilish sorry, old man, but I...
Please, Marvin, please, you won't be sorry.
I'll tell you, give me your address. I'll phone a couple of other producers.
No, they won't take me. I've tried them all.
Well, then, why not give up this idea of acting? I'll help you find something else.
No, acting's all I know how to do. And Evelyn's counting on me. She believes in me. She thinks I'm a success on the stage.
She what?
Yes. Funny, isn't it? Right now, she thinks I'm playing on Broadway.
But I don't understand.
Every night when I come home, I find her waiting, smiling. How did it go tonight, she asks me. And I say, great, better than ever.
Yes, but your clothes, Kimball, the lines in your face, can't she see it, isn't so?
No. She can't see anything. Evelyn's blind.
Blind? Oh, the accident.
Yes. That's why she never found me out. And she never will. She mustn't. I can't fail her now. Oh, let me read that part for you, Marvin.
Now, look here, Kimball. You're putting me in an impossible position. My whole play depends on the success of that part. Now, this is no time to mince words, Kimball. I remember you as... well, as a pretty bad actor.
That was 10 years ago.
I'm sorry to be so brutal, Kimball, but I've got to make you see how impossible it is. Why, this is a Jekyll and Hyde role. It can't be done with makeup, mind you. It'll take acting. The voice, the personality of the character must change before the very eyes of the audience. You couldn't do that.
You think I couldn't? I couldn't change my personality, huh? That's funny. Why, for weeks I've been playing a harder role than any you could give me. Come along and see. Come home with me, Marvin. Now, I'll show you that I can act.
Well, I'm sorry.
You've got to come, I tell you. Come with me or I'll...
Steady, you.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Where do you live, please?
Over in Jersey. It's the best I can... Will you come, Marvin?
Yes. We'll take a taxi.
Oh, you won't regret it, Marvin. You'll see. I'll show you I am an actor.
Is this the house?
Yes. Now, when I open the door, the play begins. Listen.
Ah, bonsoir, Monsieur Kimber.
Oh, you're back, are you, Jean?
Oui, monsieur.
Fine. How's Mrs. Kimball, Jean?
I cannot say, monsieur. I am only just now arrived.
Well, we're going to see. Come along, Marvin.
Hey, why the act? What's the idea?
Shh, she thinks we have a servant. You see, someone has to take care of her when she thinks I'm at the theater.
Great heavens, man. Do you mean you're doubling? That she doesn't know Jean is really you? That you've made her believe you have a real servant?
Yes. For months she's believed it. When I'm supposed to be at the theater, I'm right here taking care of her. But she thinks it's Jean. It was easy at first when she was in bed, but now...
God, it's incredible, man. It don't take a genius to get away with that.
It does take some acting.
But you can't keep on fooling her indefinitely. She's sure to catch up with you. One little slip, one unconvincing moment.
There are no such moments.
Well, what do you do when you're both supposed to be in the same room with her? You and your make-believe servant. There must be times like that.
You'll see. Let's go into her room, shall we?
Is that you, Arnold?
Yes, darling, and I have a surprise for you. I brought Marvin home with me. Tony Marvin, the playwright. You remember?
Why, of course. How do you do, Mr. Marvin?
Mrs. Kimball... It's good to see you again.
I'm so glad Arnold brought you. You're my first guest.
Then I am honored. May I say, you're as beautiful as ever?
What a nice thing to say. Are you still writing plays, Mr. Marvin? I've been away from Broadway for so long.
Broadway will never forget Evelyn Tabor.
Ah, but Broadway has a new star now, my husband. Have you seen Arnold in his play, Mr. Marvin?
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Pardon, madame. Will madame have the warm milk now?
Oh, yes, John, please.
Oui, madame. And Monsieur Kimber?
We'll have a glass of wine, please, Jean.
Very good, monsieur.
Isn't it thrilling, Mr. Marvin? Arnold's sudden success in the theater.
Oh, it's splendid. I'm delighted for you both.
You once thought Arnold couldn't act, said he'd never make an actor.
I trust you won't hold my poor judgment against me.
Oh, of course not. I'm too happy about it all.
Oh, here's Jean with your milk, dear.
Oh.
Your milk, madame?
Thank you, Jean. Put it here on the table.
A light for your cigarette, Monsieur Marvin?
Huh? Oh, yes, thanks.
And the wine, please, Jean.
Oui, monsieur. I serve it tout suite.
Ah, this is something special, Marvin. I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
Oh, by the way, Jean, did you see me play Brutus tonight as you planned?
Oui, monsieur.
How did you like it, Jean?
Oh, madame, it was magnifique. Monsieur Kimball had the audience in the palm of his hand. When Brutus speak to the mob, he is superb. Ah, it was merveilleux.
Oh, it must have been... Oh, Arnold, I'm so proud of you. And just think, Mr. Marvin, I haven't been able to go to Arnold's play yet.
Well, you've only been out of bed a week, dear.
Oh, but I'm so much stronger now. And perhaps soon my eyes will be better, too. But I can't wait for that. I've waited so long for Arnold's success. You understand, Mr. Marvin. I want to be there, in the theater when he plays. I want to hear the audience calling for him, applauding him.
Someday, my dear.
Next week. Why can't I come next week, honey?
But, my dear...
You promised that when I was stronger...
Well, I'm afraid, darling, that I have a disappointment for you. You see, My play's closing.
Kimball.
Closing? Oh, but that's impossible. Why, it's a hit, a great hit. They can't close it now so soon.
I'm afraid they must.
Look here, Kimball.
Oh, Arnold, your first great success, and I won't have seen it.
Well, I'm afraid it's all my fault, Mrs. Kimball.
Marvin.
Your fault, Mr. Marvin? But how?
Well, you see, I persuaded your husband to give up his part to come with me. And they couldn't go on without it.
To go with you?
Oh, hasn't he told you about my new play? There's a leading part in it for him, a great part, a dual role. Well, I've searched everywhere for a man to play that part, and now I know that only he could play it.
Thank you. Thank you, Marvin.
So I'm going home now to the first night's sleep I've had in weeks. My worries are over.
I can come to hear him in your play, can't I?
You'll be in my box at the opening night. My honored guest. Good night, Mrs. Kimball.
Good night.
I'll see you to the door, Marvin. I'll be right back, darling.
Yes, dear.
Oh, Marvin.
All right now, steady over.
You mean what you said? You weren't just playing up to me?
Of course not. You'll be a sensation. I want you. I've got to have you.
Oh, thank God.
It's amazing, Kimball, the way you became a different personality. The tones of your voice, your manner. It's no wonder she believes it. I shut my eyes for a moment while you were John, and I'd have sworn you were a totally different man. I'll have the contract ready for you in the morning. Come in anytime.
Yes, yes, I'll be there. And God bless you, Marvin.
Well, by the way, what about Jean?
We'll part with him tonight.
He was wonderful while he lasted. Good night.
Good night.
Madame Kimball?
Yes, Jean?
There is a thing I must speak of tonight.
What is it?
It is that I must give notice.
Why, Jean?
I must go back to France, madame. Ma mère, she is not well. She will not live much more.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jean. But you must go, of course. When are you leaving?
There is a ship on Monday. I am very sorry, madame, believe.
You've been splendid, Jean. We will miss you.
Merci, madame. You are very kind. There is nothing you want now?
No, thanks. Good night, John.
Bonsoir, madame.
Arnold, dear, you made an almost perfect John.
Now, before news about next week's play, let's stroll through Grand Hotel. It's Saturday, and the lobby's crowded. Over yonder, I see a famous diplomat from Europe, close by an RAF pilot. I recognize a famous Broadway star, and I recognize that lush, velvety, smooth complexion. It's a solitaire cake makeup complexion, clear toned, glowing with the fresh, clean look of youth. That's the solitaire kind of beauty, the kind of beauty that makes you stand out in a crowd. Would you stand out in a crowd? Do you have a young-looking, silky complexion? Wherever you go, you owe it to yourself to look your prettiest. You owe yourself the new complexion beauty of Solitaire. With Solitaire, you're not only prettier, but you're a picture of poise. For you wear Solitaire carefree and confident that it will stay fresh and flawless all evening. Confident, too, that Solitaire never, never is unnatural or made-up looking. For Solitaire is the featherweight cake makeup with lanolin, precision blended to a breeze-like sheerness, a satin smoothness. Solitaire is also your secret weapon, for it helps keep tiny lines and blemishes under cover. Its lanolin richness fights skin dryness every minute it's on. Try the creamy magic of Solitaire tonight. You'll like the sun-bright colors for daylight, the exotic dusky hues for evening. It's Solitaire, the natural-looking cake makeup with lanolin. Only 60 and 25 cents at better cosmetic counters. And now for next week's play. It's an exciting murder mystery entitled Consignment, Lisbon. Be sure to tune in. Every home can do so much to help toward victory. There's waste paper to be gathered up and sent to your salvage group. There are tin cans to flatten out and save. Waste fats to be taken to your butcher. There's the blood bank, the Red Cross, and war bonds. So do your part. Every little bit helps.
Grand Hotel? Oh, yes, sir. I know Campan will be delighted that you enjoyed the program. Thank you for calling. Grand Hotel? Yes, madam. Every Saturday afternoon. Grand Hotel.
Campana's Grand Hotel, starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule, is a copyrighted radio feature. Today's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or to actual events. Grand Hotel is transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave and to the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Men, there's plenty of time tomorrow morning to have a really good shave. That means a shave topped off with Dress Skin, Campana's famous aftershave lotion. Yes, sirree, Dress Skin, spelled D-R-E-S-K-I-N, is an invigorating, stimulating lotion that cools and tones your skin, leaves your face feeling refreshed, looking well-groomed. Get Dress Skin tonight. Try it tomorrow. Only 50 cents and $1 a bottle at your druggist. This is the National Broadcasting Company.